It's the Awake Space Astrology Podcast. I'm Lori Rivers with you, here to help you with some inspiration to get those aspirations out into the world. And we're looking at the month of May in this episode, which is going to be a little spicy. It's going to be a little spicy. And in fact, if you've been following my TikTok at all, I did a little video about the Columbia University protests from April 23rd, 1968, compared to April 23rd, 2024. Oh, it's hard when you were born in the previous century. Anyway, so you can look forward to that little segment. I'll probably be doing some more information around parallels to Kent State a little later in the year for patrons. I go through that a little bit in that segment as well. Oh, what a time it is. Grab your coffee, get your matcha, get your tea, get your chai, whatever you're doing, whatever you're drinking. Bevy of choice, definitely drink your water. We all need to stay hydrated as we get ready for the month of May. It's going to be a wild one. So, I'm going to be doing some patron shout outs. And speaking of Patreon, I know I talk about it all the time, but I literally love the organization because I'm a Patreon ambassador, which means I get to test features and help make Patreon better for all other creators. I help give feedback about what's working, what isn't working. I get to meet really cool people, including the staff of Patreon. You've never met people who have been so dedicated to a mission in your life. And so if you're a patron, I did a how to start a successful Patreon presentation. I may do another one coming up. So I'll be talking to you guys in the Patreon about that and run a poll to see what it is you want to know and how I can help you with that. Why do I love them so much? Well, one, I'm really glad they're a private company and not a public company because they really are dedicated to inclusion, diversity, and creators making their way in the world. And they do their damnedest to provide a lot of really important information to help people grow, but people don't always know where to find that. And that's one of the things I do for my friends and colleagues. People, I think, need that information. And so, I'll probably be focusing on that a little more. I get to do a workshop for Patreon on May 7th for other podcasters, which is really exciting and really kind of strange because I know I have a successful podcast, but it's not like I ever trained in podcasting. You know, so it's something I do to deliver information. So when they were like, yeah, we asked you because you have a successful podcast, I'm like, huh. Cool. I don't see it that way. As a podcaster, you know, so it's like, I'm an astrologer who podcasts, kind of like I'm an astrologer who creates content, right? So if you're one of those people who has specialized knowledge and you don't think of yourself as a podcaster, I'm going to urge you to kind of like switch your mindset up. We've got Jupiter moving into Gemini this month. And, it's going to be a great time to put podcasting forward because, you know, Jupiter is expansion, Gemini is communication. Podcasts are definitely a third, ninth house matter. And I'm excited about what I get to do and how I get to play with Patreon. That's super exciting. They've been very supportive of me as a creator, and I love to give that support back, which is super fun. What's up in this episode? Well, I'm going to, of course, tell you what's up on deck for May. I'm not going to give you the week by week headlines too much. I'm going to give you the start of the week because obviously it starts with April 29th and 30th. And then, of course, we have Pluto going retrograde on the 2nd. I'm going to do our patron shout outs. I just said that. Going to do a little Patreon Q&A and, of course, talk about the Columbia University protests from a historical standpoint from 1968 to 2023 and how the energy has some echoes, not so much a repeat, but echoes of the past or ghosts of the past are coming up to haunt us. And so that's up on deck in this episode. So without further ado, let's get moving. right. It is April 29th and Venus is moving into Taurus. Venus is moving into Taurus today and it will be making a square with Pluto tomorrow, which is the day that Mars moves in to Aries. Now, I talked about that last week. I'm just giving you a reminder. Now, Venus moving into Taurus is great. It's back home where it needs to be, and it's bringing us some urges for our security. Since it's moving into a square with Pluto, and Pluto isn't retrograde till May 1st, we may see market volatility, and I'll be talking about that today a little bit. And we'll be seeing Mars move into Aries. Now, here's the deal. Mars isn't making any hard aspects in Aries to anything else. However, it is making a sextile to Pluto, as Pluto will be making its way retrograde. And that's some big bada boom energy. I'll talk a little bit about that before we hit the May overview. So I want you to grab your coffee, your tea, your chai, your lattes, your matcha, your cocoa. We're going to talk about what's up on deck. Now, I'm not going to give your weekly overview through the headlines because I don't do that the first of the month, because the Awake Space Astrology Magazine goes out to patrons on the 2nd. You can find that also in the Awake Space Patreon shop. If you don't want to join at the $15 level and above, that is there on deck. I am returning to the United States April 28th. That's why I've recorded this early. So this is pre-recorded, not in front of a live audience, I'm afraid. Just because I want to make sure this gets out to you so I can have it timed. I'm ready to go. And we know that you'll be getting the news you need. Now, speaking of May, I have a special event I'm co-hosting with the amazing medium Matilda. We have a fun way of working together. We're doing two shows, May 3rd and May 5th. These are hitting various time zones. They're not separate shows, so you don't have to do both. You're not missing out on anything. Just register for one. And yeah, we're going to record it, but we're not releasing the recordings for sale. We're just going to make sure everybody who attends gets theirs, and then we'll be using them as content out in the world as well. We're going to be going over May and June in detail because there's some real hotting up stuff. But before I get to May, let me talk to you about the Monday and Tuesday action that we've got. Again, we've got Venus moving into Taurus. It squares off with Pluto on the 30th, which is when Mars moves into Aries, and it makes an immediate sextile, an approaching sextile with Pluto. And I think we're going to see some big bada boom energy out in the world. This is probably the most likely conflicts expanding. We could see things heat up with Russia, Ukraine. We could see any unstable regions further being destabilized globally. We could see the Middle East heating up. I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't more going on between Israel and Iran. Luckily, we have Pluto at the early degrees of Aquarius. When Pluto's in the earlier degrees of a sign, one of the things I've noticed over time and experience as an astrologer, and remember, I've been doing this for 3 decades. If this is your first episode, I'll just say it real quick, and it's a reminder for everybody else. My name is Lori Rivers. I've been a professional practicing astrologer for 3 decades. I do both natal astrology and consulting astrology, as well as mundane predictions. And that's like world events, natural disasters, politics, etc. I started life as a political analyst. Astrology fell into me in 1995, and I decided I'd prove it wrong. Ha ha, joke was on me. So one of the things I've noticed with Pluto in the early degrees of a sign is it has less intensity. It's almost like as it moves through the sign, it gathers steam. Okay. So honestly, as wild and weird as things have been in 2024 and will be again in 2025, it's not as wild and woolly as it will be as Pluto leaves the sign of Aquarius in 2044. So we'll get some breathing room in between then and now. Okay. I think the biggest thing up on deck is humanity has to change how it works together, and we're going to be forced into that by climate change. I'm well on the record for that. And I think the evidence of climate change is just going to keep building and building and building as we go through this year. So, and this winter is going to be something else. One of the reasons Matilda and I decided to do our joint event is because May is pretty gnarly. And I think, you know, April 29th and April 30th are really setting the stage for that. I think we'll see some financial instability. I think we're going to see the markets kind of all over the place. If you're worried about the TikTok supposed ban, I don't see it as a ban. I see it as a restructuring. And I'm honestly not that worried about it. Okay. I'm just not. So May 2nd, Pluto goes retrograde. May 3rd, we see Mars sextiled Pluto. This is the big event. I think from April 30th through May 3rd into the 5th and 6th, we will see some escalation of violence. Now this can be, on the global stage. And I think it will be. I think we'll be looking at international events. I think we're going to be looking at international conflicts. I think we're going to be seeing some things that are really up on deck. And then I think also, you know, as far as like conflicts go, I think we'll see an expansion of that. I think we'll also see market volatility. And I think when we're dealing with people who are less in control of their consciousness, meaning people who are more reactive, people who might be prone to violence, I think we'll see some public violence in this. We could see vehicular violence, fist fights, physical fights, things like that up on deck with Mars in Aries sextiling Pluto in Aquarius. I think we could see some issues online. And I think the trolls are really going to be out. May 7th, we have the new moon in Taurus, and I'll talk about that in more detail next week on next week's episode. You'll also have your intention setting guide in the Awake Space Astrology magazine. May 13th, we have the sun conjunct Uranus, and that's going to be a volatile day. It'll be an interesting day with that. May 15th, we see Mercury ingress into Taurus. May 17th, Mercury is square Pluto. I think that's going to be transportation issues. We could see issues to deal with. We could see issues to deal with trucking, transportation, rail, the movement of commodities, the commodity market, and food. Also on May 15th, we have Mars conjunct the North Node in Aries. Mars, the 19th of May, we have Mars conjunct the North Node in Aries. That's not on my handy dandy cheat sheet notes from the 2024 year ahead. It's something I noticed today doing a reading for somebody. There could be some historic events. These could be good things. It could be a creation of something. It could be the announcement of something new, but it could also be, we could see some stuff go down. Mercury will be square Pluto on the 17th, May 18th. We have Venus conjunct Uranus and the Sun conjunct Jupiter. This could be a good day. On an individual level, I think May 18th brings us some very interesting things. The markets could rebound after, you know, they falter, but also on an individual level, this is very inspiring, and there could be some surprise goodies coming around. So we'll see what goes on with that. And I'll talk about that in more detail as we go through the month. May 20th, the sun ingresses into Gemini. Gemini season starts May 20th and May 22nd. We have the sun trine off with Pluto. That could be a very interesting day. We could see communications issues. We could see truth coming out, some truth bombs that shape society. May 23rd is a big day. We have Venus conjunct Jupiter, the full moon in Sagittarius, and Venus moves into Gemini. I'm looking forward to that. As a Gemini Venus person, I'm looking forward to that. Although my Venus return doesn't happen until
June, but that's some happy stuff on a personal level here. And then the 25th, Jupiter ingresses into Gemini while Venus is trine Pluto. And of course, Venus will conjunct Jupiter. So that's something. They'll be in a wide conjunction, but it's not that wide. They'll still be conjunct. May 27th, we have Mercury sextile Saturn. And May 30th, we have Mercury conjunct Uranus. That could also be some transportation issues, communications issues, but it could be in a positive direction as well. Here's what I wrote back in June of 2023. It says primary season in the U.S. is getting super dirty, and there's every manner of scandal from CSA to drugs to espionage. Economically, we could see more retailers go out of business or file for bankruptcy. Real estate continues to slide. Crypto might be on the rise. All markets are shaking globally. So it's very volatile. Lots of ups and downs. Just kind of people are pretty nervous as we start May. We could see some smaller banks go or issues with payment gateways, credit cards, or loan defaults. Could see consumer debt be a hot topic in debates. Expect some chaotic energy throughout May with big accidents and public unrest globally. Farmers may speak out about supply and climate. End of month, things get loud and there's tons of information leaks and wagging tongues. This could be to do with Trump and or people on trial for election tampering. Extreme temperatures, big weather, winds, and some mighty tornadoes might be seen. Hurricanes form and potential seismic activity increase just as Jupiter exits Taurus. So that will be, let's see, Jupiter moves into Taurus or exits Taurus on the 25th. So it moves into Gemini that day. And so I think anytime from May 18th through May 25th, we could see an increase in seismic activity. Southern California, don't freak out. Your time is coming in September. Remember, I live there most of the time. So there is that. There is that. Alrighty. That is what's coming up in May. It's quite volatile. But again, with volatility comes opportunity. So with May 2nd, again, Pluto goes retrograde. Now, there's going to be a lot of people talking about Pluto retrograde in a negative way. Retrograde does not mean bad. I'd like to remind you of that. Retrograde, in my experience, just gives us a chance to do a little review, okay, a little assessment. And we need these outer planets to slow down just a little bit. We've had a really bumpy start of the year. Retrograde is going to slow down some of those conflicts. Okay. Now, we may have a review of conflicts. We may see in the initial stages, especially with Mars in the sextile, we could see something that somebody talked about and didn't do happen. Okay. We could see threats made good on. But we could also see something stopped. So the fact that Pluto's retrograde the day the sextile perfects from Mars, that could mitigate things. So things, I don't see us moving into global thermal nuclear war. I've said it over and over again. People keep asking about World War III. I think we've been in it for a long time. And I think it's economic. And I think regional conflicts are kind of like, and I know this sounds trite, so don't think I'm diminishing anything, because I'm not. It's the tragedies we're seeing are still tragedies, but I see these as like steam valves where steam's being released, things are being released. So that's up on deck. So we could see an increased amount of aggression in certain areas, but on a global scale, I think we're seeing it more in the hacking zone. I think we'll see more economic sanctions. I think trade deals, and I think we'll see corporations under strain. I think they're going to start turning on corporations. And to all of those companies that lobbied for the TikTok sale/ban, their time's coming. Their time's coming. And I don't think we're going to see TikTok go away in the 180-day time frame, even if/when the Senate approves it. Okay. I just don't see that happening. Partly that was all voted on during a Mercury retrograde. It'll either backfire on the people who voted for it, or it's just not going to work out. I just don't see it working out. I think it was rushed and I think it backfires. And I did tell you guys since last year, you want to put your focus on local. I'm not saying that federal isn't important, but you want to focus on your city, county, state. You want to clear your state legislatures, and you want to clear the House. We've had a lot of representatives, especially on the GOP side, slate themselves for retirement out of the House of Representatives. That causes me pause. Nobody gives up power for no reason. Okay, so there's some shady stuff going on. So you really want to shore up your local politics. That's super, super important. I can't emphasize that enough. So that's up on deck. It's a wild time on the planet, my friends. Now, on an individual level, let's talk about how this energy might feel. And I'm not going to go through your placements on this, but I'm just going to say in general, how will we be feeling throughout May? What's going to be, you know, we might feel some pressure diminish in some ways, like the angst might diminish just a little bit. Our nervous systems might get a little relief. And at the same time, we might be feeling a little spicy. We might be saying, hey, we're not cool with what's going on in the world, especially like in the United States, where you do have the ability still kind of to address what's going on in the world with your representatives. We may see an increase in involvement. We may see more organizing. I think we're going to continue to see labor organize. I think you're going to see more people looking at how they can be independent of corporate bodies. I think there's going to be more pushback against labor. And so people are going to be like, what? I'm tired of this. I think we might be looking at making better plans for ourselves in the face of change. Obviously, it is disconcerting to live through a time of enduring change. It really is. But that's just what we've got. I think the end of the month, people get loud. And I think we're going to see people out in the streets. I think you're going to see people not just protesting, but like actively organizing people getting to know their neighbors. This is local energy. As we move through Gemini, we're thinking less big picture, more at home, more in the neighborhood. Okay. That's what we're looking at. And we're starting to say, you know, what hurts me hurts you. What hurts you hurts me. And you start to see people building steam into, it's going to be very, very active. Like I said, Matilda and I are going to get into that in depth, because May and June are both kind of spicy. You know, June 2nd, we got Jupiter trine Pluto, Mercury slides into Gemini. And I just think people are just going to get loud then, because Mercury, of course, will trine off of Pluto. And I think voices will be amplified. People will be finding their inner voice and externalizing that. So, and you could do that in multiple ways. That may not just be at politicians. This would be to bosses. This could be in family dynamics. You know, we're all going to be a little spicy. So be gentle with yourself and other people. You can take a breath before you react. Lada, 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 lada. It's going to be something else, guys. It's going to be something else. But I think it also has some creative energy. I think we're going to, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Crisis can be an innovating time. Pressure creates diamonds. You let a tea bag steep to get tea. And I think we're all finding and rising into our understanding of, hey, what do I want? Especially with Venus moving into Taurus. And later in May, I'm doing my final beta round of the first part of healing the money wound using astrology, TM. And so you'll be able to sign up for that through Patreon. And everybody who joins in a session of that gets the group. And then we'll move to the next round and get into the coaching program. And everybody there will get like special access, special deals on being able to participate in that while we organize that fully. Because I really feel that if we don't move into the healing process, because I think a lot of people are really good at identifying the wound, but taking those next steps into the healing need a little more nurturing. Okay. And that's what I'm building, to help people nurture through that, because the more you pick at the wound, the more it festers. So we want to heal those things and move forward with those things. Why do I bring that up? Because that's up on deck right now. We're looking at our security, our stability. And as much as, you know, we want to think we're good people and we're generous and we'd give our shirt off our back, you know, we're having to look at our bank accounts. We're having to look at how we spend our money. But if you get into austerity measures, you're going to sink. And I'm not saying you should be a spendthrift. What I'm saying is we have to, and I mean, we have to focus forward on how can I grow more? What can I do? Where are my skill levels? What can I do? And if you're in the mystery school, go to the Discord. If you haven't got into the Discord, get in there. The Mystery School Discord. You can find that link in the Patreon chat for the Mystery School. The curriculum there will walk you through how to identify this, but you got to do it. You can't just sit there waiting for it to happen. Okay. You got to do it. Going to meetings will certainly make things work for you. If there's not a good meeting time, you can set up a meeting time. It is designed to be member led because gurus don't help. Okay. Being reliant on a person to lead you, well, you can lead you down the wrong road. It can lead you into trouble. You want to lead yourself. And this teaches you how, and it teaches how to join in a co-creative way with other people. So that's there. And I'll be talking more and more about how we meet those strategies. But if you aren't playing from your strengths, it's going to be more and more challenging as we go forward in time. And I mean, for the next 10 years or so. So, you know, so there's some truth bombs coming in May. And as they say, the truth hurts. And we'll talk about that more in the event What in the World with me and Matilda. Alrighty, folks, I think it's time for some patron shoutouts. If you didn't know, patrons support the Awake Space Astrology Podcast. And every episode I do patron shoutouts, welcoming our newest members. All right, who do we have here? We've got Carla, Charles, Wendy, Monica, NC, Lords, Yogi, aka Commander Neptar, Adrian, Nicole, Carmen, Jason, Melissa, Mina, Bobby Joe, Carissa, Hannah, Diana, Hannah, Mary Kate, Michelle, Tori, Tina, Cecilia, Laura, Andrea, Meg, Courtney, Chris, Morgan, Karen, KG, Elizabeth, Ricky, Claire, Alexis, Jenny, Mia, Debbie, Christina, Jenny, Larissa, D, Laura, Carrick, Rudet, and Nico. These are our latest patrons. And if you joined this, like the last week of April, and your name didn't get called, don't worry, you'll get called in the next episode. I'm pre-recording this. Every month I give a special discount, so keep your eyes open for that. That'll come out at the end of the week on Patreon. I've got a couple classes getting started this month. We're doing at the end of the month, I'm going to do Healing the Money Wound. At the beginning or middle of the month, we're doing the last session of intermediate astrology. So if you've wanted to learn how to synthesize natal charts, really get a deeper view of how to look at your own natal chart,
and other people's, because, you know, even though I think you should be really studying your own, I know you're going to look at your friends and you're going to do your kids and the husband and or the wife or the them friends. And, you know, I get it. So we'll be looking at that. It's a 14-week class. It's intense. It's participatory. And it's really worth it. We already started the beginning astrology class. And that was super fun. I love getting people started. So if you're like confused with, you know, the squiggles and the lines, that one is what that's about. And if you feel ready to move forward after that, I think I might do one more natal chart foundation class, which gets you at an advanced, it takes you to an advanced beginner stage and prepares you for the intermediate stage of looking at charts and understanding the natal chart. So that's exciting. I'm not doing another intermediate class because of what's coming down the line this, you know, after the summer and fall. In the fall, there's some pretty crunchy transits for me personally, and I want to be able to focus and serve you here in the Patreon and on the podcast and all of that fun stuff. I don't want to I don't know that I can support a class while Mars is opposite my Sun and Mercury or Mars is on my Sun and Mercury opposing Pluto. So Mars in Cancer will be opposing Pluto the last week of October. And I was like, you know what? I ain't teaching a class through that. That's just not going to happen. So that's what we're looking at. What else have we got? Let's see. May is a little wild. And again, if you wanted to hear exactly what my predictions were for May outside of what I just read to you, you can go listen to the Awake Space on the Awake Space Astrology Patreon. If you go to the shop, you'll find the 2-hour video month by month predictions where I talked about what I thought was going on. I think we're going to see a lot of natural disasters, and so does Matilda. And if you haven't heard us work together, there's a free post in the Awake Space Patreon where we did a TikTok live together, and we are humorous. We don't like giving bad news any more than you like receiving it. Okay. So, I think this next part of the podcast, I want to talk about the accusations of fear mongering, because it's not very helpful or useful when people say you're fear mongering. And no, we're not. We're trying to get people ready so they can be emotionally prepared, financially prepared, physically prepared if necessary, if we can call that and help people have a heads up. You know, on a personal level, when I do consultations for clients, I look at everything from messy divorces, selling businesses, moving homes, dealing with family dynamics, healing processes, you know, and I just got a really beautiful note from a client last week who said, you know, you did a reading back in September of 2022. I was getting ready to go through divorce and a custody battle, and I found out my ex was a predator. You predicted I would end up with sole custody of our child, and we had mediation, and that did happen. I did get custody and protecting the child. Thank you so much for the reading. And it was still very stressful to go for, but I kept reassuring myself about what you said about how custody was going to end up, and it helped keep my focus. And when you said more stuff was going to come up about him, it did. The stuff just kept coming. So I could have not told her what I saw, but in the end, you know, that ended up preparing for this, you know, basically deluge of information. I actually remember that reading and don't remember every reading that I do, but there's some that stand out, especially when somebody's going through something very volatile and very life-changing and very hard. So it's important to understand there's a difference between fear-mongering, where people are telling you that the world is going to end, kind of the Dolores Cannon route. Not a big fan here. Not a big fan of Dolores Cannon. I think she tuned in to some of the lower frequencies. I think she overemphasized past lives. we're here in this life for a reason. And even if time is concurrent, okay, and it isn't linear, you're not responsible for anything other than what this meat suit is doing in this life, okay? You're not responsible for anything you did in a past life. That lesson would have been learned when that physicality ended, or you were no longer primarily focused in a past life. And I had a lot of insights about past lives in the last couple of, you know, last 2 months while I've been traveling to areas where I've lived in this lifetime, and fuzzy memories, not remembering or knowing where I was because things changed, especially like here in Bahrain. It totally changed in the time I've been gone. There's only a few areas where I can walk around and go, oh, I know where I am, instead of like, where am I? What am I doing? You know, because the landscape has completely changed. The landmarks aren't there. You know, that the culture has evolved and changed. Likewise in England, you know, I went to university there and I lived there as a young woman. You know, my daughter kept saying, let's go to dinner at the pub. And I was like, pubs don't serve dinner, honey. They only do lunch. And she was like, no, mom, you can get dinner at the pub. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, funny enough, things change in 30 years. So if you lived somewhere 1,000 years ago, how would you, you know, you might have a sense of familiarity, but, you know, it would just be more like, hey, have I been here before? But you're not even close to what it would look like, you know, so, or felt like, et cetera, except in rare, rare occasions. So people like that got people worried about whether they were going to be okay. Almost all of us have some form of religious trauma that we've been working through or are working through. And a lot of those New Agers really preyed on people who, you know, were worried about being decent human beings, or worried about getting it wrong, worried about going to hell, worried about being judged in some way, shape, or form. And anytime people do that, you know, that's fear mongering, you know. Whereas if you're working with people who are saying, hey, look in the present moment, connect to yourself, you can expand, you can actualize, you can realize there are many layers of self that you can access, give you tools to work with to have a more fulfilling and satisfying life, then you know you're probably on the right path. But if somebody says they have all the answers, their information is the only information that's available and is the only information that's right, that's a problem. Then you're looking at somebody who's either trying to start a cult following or somebody who isn't willing to analyze things in a different way. So that's kind of where I stand with things. But as for fear mongering on my side, I have no desire to fear monger. I have every desire to prepare you emotionally, psychologically, physically, if possible. Notice I haven't been giving a lot of warnings lately. I kind of feel like I did my warnings. Now it's time to just step up and move. You don't have time to sit and worry about things. You have to take action. We've got Mars in Aries, okay? Mars is in Aries as of April 30th. I can't remember what time that happens. Let me look that up. Mars moves into Aries. Let's see. At 8:33 a.m. Pacific. So by, you know, noon 30 on the East Coast, we've got Mars in Aries. You probably expect some wild stuff to happen that day. There might be, by the way, speaking of preparing you, don't be surprised if there isn't some kind of quote unquote attack on American soil that day, or in the United Kingdom, or an EU country. So it'd be one of the Western quote unquote powers that might be affected by that. And that might be to legitimize some kind of military action somewhere. Not my favorite news to divulge. If I was in New York, DC, LA, I'd be careful on public transport or in large gatherings that day. Okay. So crowded spaces, landmarks, easily known, you know, usual spaces, those places, I would be careful with the subway in New York. I would be careful at like Times Square, you know, those types of things, any of the bigger East Coast cities, bigger West Coast cities, Seattle, Portland, LA, San Francisco. And in the middle of the country, again, large populated areas. Just be careful. We could see some wild weather with that. And it's just be aware, okay? And somebody, we were talking about disasters and missed negative experiences, you know, and I was traveling back in the 80s and 90s, and there was a lot going on back then. And people are like, oh my God, you survived that. And I was like, well, I missed it. And one thing I learned from living through the IRA bombings in London and the different, you know, hijackings and things that were going on, missing a flight, et cetera, was that when it's your time, you know? And I always took it, you know, as in, yeah, it could have been me. It wasn't me. And I have work to do in the world. And when that work is over, then, you know, then the meat suit's done. Okay. Why do I think that way? Well, it was just easier than being freaked out every time something bad happened, because it was a very volatile time on the planet then too. We haven't ever had a golden era. It's just people don't communicate what was going on. So I know it's hard. I know it will rattle your last nerve, but there are ways to deal with things. So that's up on deck. Let's see. So yeah. Not fear-mongering, just getting you ready for stuff, okay? Okay. On a personal level, this is really creative energy. You can get super clear, get laser-focused, keep moving forward. I think you want to tune in, you know, and we could all get a little mentally overstimulated too, because I think there's going to be a lot of information flying at us. So it's really important to pause, take a breath, deep breaths. Make sure you're breathing. Do your breathing exercises. That's not a trait. That actually helps your brain. That's a neuroscience fact. Your brain needs oxygen. So do the not hyperventilating. Okay. But take nice deep breaths, and that'll help you make it through. I'm going to give some other shout outs. The astrologers are doing more podcasts. We've got Jen has a podcast. She's been linking that up in the Discord, and Casey's podcast, Petty Astrology. Those are all places you can get other insights astrologically. And these are the Woke Astrologers, and McKinsey's been pairing up with them. They've been having great conversations, including with Kathy Sato, who is Sister Luck in the Discord, because she is also one of the moderators of the Awake Space and a very talented astrologer as well. So there's that. All right, I was going to talk a little bit about the Columbia University protests and the parallels to the 1960s. In fact, 1968, to be exact. I did a little TikTok video about this. You can check it out on my TikTok account at The Awake Space or at Astro_Lori. So one of the things I was thinking about and have been feeling over the last year and a half is this sense of Kent State, okay? And if you don't know what Kent State was, it was a massacre. Four students were killed in 1970. And I've been feeling that energy kind of brewing. Now, that's not astrological. That's my spidey senses, because I'm very intuitive. And I decided to I was just Googling around for information about Columbia and protests, and I found an article talking about Columbia University's April 23rd, 1968 protest. And of course, I found that on April 23rd of 2024. Wow, let's take a look at the astrology. And again, I did that. Now, I mentioned Kent State in that video, and people have been saying, hey, can you talk about the energy of Kent State? And I will in a patron-only podcast. Okay, so I'm going to do a little overview. It probably won't be too long, but it'll be for patrons only, where I talk about what I think we're going to see heading into 2025. And that'll feature as well in my 2025 year ahead that's coming up on June 22nd. But let's go back to the Columbia University protests. So in 1968, Columbia University. It's called the Columbia University Uprising and their protests. And this was over the Vietnam War, but there was another aspect to it. And so what happened in, I'll just read a little blurb to you. The Columbia protests erupted over the spring of 1968 after students discovered links between the university and the institutional apparatus supporting the United States involvement in the Vietnam War, as well as their concern over an allegedly segregated gymnasium to be constructed in the nearby Morningside Park. The protests resulted in the student occupation of many university buildings and the eventual violent removal of protesters by the New York City Police Department. So unlike Kent State, where they called in the National Guard, this was done by the NYPD, which we're kind of seeing some parallels with. So let me give you... There were some different protests, but the first protest occurred in March 1968, 8 days before the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., in response to the Columbia administration's attempt to suppress anti-IDA student protests on its campus and Columbia's plans for the Morningside Park Gymnasium. Columbia SDS activists and the student activists who led Columbia Student Afro Society held a second confrontational demonstration on April 23rd, 1968 at the university sundial. After the protest in Columbia and Barnard, students were prevented from protesting inside Lowe Library by Columbia security guards. Most of the student protesters marched down to the Columbia Gymnasium construction site in Morningside Park, attempted to stop construction of the gymnasium and began to struggle with the New York City police officers who were guarding the construction site. They arrested one protester at the gym site. The SAS and SDS students then left the gym site at Morningside Park and returned to Columbia's campus, where they took over Hamilton Hall, a building housing both classrooms and the offices of the Columbia College Administration. An important aspect of the 1968 Columbia University protests was the manner in which activists were separated along racial lines. The morning after the initial takeover of Hamilton Hall, the 60 African-American students involved in the protests asked the predominantly white SDS students to leave. The SAS decision to separate themselves from SDS came as a total surprise. SAS wanted autonomy, and they were doing at that point in the protests because their goals and methods diverged in significant ways from SDS. And that was, you know, hey, hand over the mic. I get it. Anyway, I think that part is a little editorialized, so I'm going to stop there because I think a lot of times people get butthurt when marginalized groups are trying to achieve an aim and people want to take over the message. So let's take a look at April 23rd of 1968, and what it has in common with today. So one of the things that was going on April 23rd, 1968, we had the North Node in Aries, and it was conjunct Saturn in Aries, and also conjunct by a little less than a degree, Venus in Aries. Okay, so this was around values and codes and moral standing. We also had the Sun and Mars in Taurus. Mars was at 19 degrees, which is close to pinging the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So it's kind of pinging, like the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction has been pinging since last fall, that time marker, you could say, right? So from 1968. But Jupiter was at 25 degrees of Leo, 25 degrees of Leo. So Mars was starting to make an approaching square to Jupiter at that point. Interesting that Jupiter today would be square that Jupiter of 1968. We had a Pluto-Uranus conjunction going on at that time, which, you know, the whole of the late 60s was very volatile with Pluto and Uranus kind of dancing back and forth in a in a conjunction. They were both retrograde at the time. April 23rd of 2024, what we've got going on, we actually have Saturn moving into, and it's not there yet, but moving into a conjunction with Mars. It's very wide right now. That conjunction forms exact on the, So we have today, we have Mars in a separate, it's separated off the conjunction of Saturn that was conjunct earlier in the month. And then we have Mars moving into a conjunction with Neptune. Okay. I think we'll very much see chemicals displayed. And I think the Mars Saturn conjunction might have been when we saw chemicals displayed on a campus. I'd have to go back and look at that. And that I'm talking about like chemical weapons or gas, things like that. So we may see gas used to disperse students, this weekend. So careful if you're out there, guys. But we also have the North Node in Aries. Now, nothing is conjunct that North Node. Well, Mercury is conjunct that North Node. Kind of. It's just within orb. And so again, we've got some echoes of the past and the themes are fairly concurrent. And Venus is in Aries. Now it's not conjunct the node, but it is in Aries. And it would have been conjunct the node, about a week and some change ago. So we're seeing people stand up for values, morals, etc. We of course still have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction going on as Jupiter separates away from Uranus. So we're going to continue to see people standing up for civil liberties, for economic justice, and looking at the disparity of, and it's economic justice because we're looking at Uranus and Jupiter in Taurus. So it's seeing like, hey, we need to divest, we need to show where the tax dollar is going, et cetera, in different ways. And of course, we had a full moon on the 23rd. Then I went to, I remembered from a reading, because I do, you know, I do a lot of readings, even if I do screw up my calendar from time to time, which happy Mercury retrograde to me. I've done very nicely. Thank you. I'm trying to fix it. Anyway, Mars will be conjunct the North Node on May 18th in the United States, May 19th elsewhere. And there could be some volatility. Now, I did this for New York. I think you may see some partnerships dissolve when it comes to all things economic. We'll have the moon in a trine with Pluto earlier in the day, so around the mid-morning time on the East Coast. And we have Neptune at 29 degrees of Pisces. Now, Neptune doesn't leave Pisces until 2025 when it'll pop into Aries briefly before the retrograde. And people were asking me again about the Kent State thing. And here's what I have to say about that. Kent State was 1970. So that was almost 2 years after the Columbia University protests. And when I go to the 1970 charts, let's see, we had Jupiter getting ready to move into Scorpio. It was at the 29th degree. It was retrograde, so it hadn't left Libra just yet, but it was sitting at that last degree. We had Neptune retrograde at the last degree of Scorpio, getting ready to move into Sagittarius. But again, it was retrograde, so I hadn't shifted over just yet. And we had Saturn conjunct the sun. Saturn was in Taurus. And we had Venus and Mars in Gemini. And this was May 4th, 1970 at 2:49 p.m. Eastern. And if I go to the exact time of the Kent State Massacre, that was May 4th, 1970 at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. And there was a lot going on. Now, May and June of this year, are very volatile. We don't, the only planet we have getting ready to ingress into another sign is, besides the inner planets, you know, so the social planets and outer planets, the one we've got getting ready to pop into another sign is Jupiter. And Jupiter slides into Gemini May 25th, May 25th of this year. And then we're going to have a lot of Gemini action moving from the end of June, because this we have Venus also moving into Gemini right before the Jupiter ingress. So they don't quite form a precise conjunction, but we will have a separating conjunction on May 25th. And it's pretty close enough for horseshoes and hand grenades. There's a 2-degree separation. So if you've got Gemini placements, that'll be good. I've got a presentation dropping on May 3rd that I think you guys will really enjoy, talking about how to make use of the Gemini, Jupiter Gemini energy. However, when we look at world events, Gemini is contentious energy. I always like to say Gemini is like Tinkerbell. Okay. It's not a passive energy. Air signs aren't passive. Neither are water. Okay. Everybody thinks about fire, but fire honestly needs fuel to move it. And it's air that moves the fire. So with everything being in Gemini coming up into the first week of June, I think that college graduations are going to be a hotbed. And I think we may see people overreact, because remember, we've got people trying to hold dominance right now. So again, going back to Kent State, I think we won't really see that same kind of energy if we do. And to me, history doesn't repeat. It rhymes. It echoes. And I think we're seeing echoes of the past. And I find it really fascinating, because the older people, the boomers in power today, many of them got their political start in those protests back in the 1960s and early 70s. So I have a warning to the younger generation. Don't sell out. Don't buy in. When I look at May 4th of 2025, that, you know, I was like, is there any correlation in the dates? It is a little spiffy, but I'm going to go, let's see, where's the one I want? I made so many charts last night. Where are they? Hold on. I'm looking, I spend my life looking for charts. Which date? Did I even take the picture of that? Oh, Lordy. So when, I think it's a little bit earlier. May 4th of 2025. Yeah, I think it's just earlier than that. I think in, April 4th. So I think the end of March of 2025 is going to be pretty volatile, because we'll have Neptune popping into Aries. And I think that's something I'm going to really, really focus on in the year ahead, is looking at that change of sign from Pisces to Aries with Neptune. I think things are going to get pretty hot and heavy with Pisces. With Neptune and Aries. People kind of ignore Neptune because it's hard to describe, because it's a lack of boundaries. It's kind of nebulous, but you know, Neptune is actually an extremely reliable planet. And I think that's what people miss out on. If you look at its orbit, it has a regular orbit. Its orbit spans, 184 years. It's in a sign for 14 years. It's not like Pluto that has a very irregular orbit. I think people got really caught up with Pluto in, the 90s because of the whole, evolution side of things. And I agree. I studied with Jeffrey Wolfgang. I believe evolution plays a role, but I think we can't leave Neptune out. Because a lot of I think Neptune brings us to crisis points where it's hard to discern reality from fantasy sometimes. And, I think with Neptune in Pisces at the moment, In the later degrees of Pisces, I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing a ton of spiritual psychosis. And we're also seeing through the veil. We're seeing through the veil of propaganda. We're seeing through the veil of misinformation. And there are people digging their heels into their illusions. And it's, I'm not talking about everyday folks. I'm not talking about spiritual TikTok. I'm talking about politicians. They are just, you know, bald faced lying and digging down into their so-called beliefs. And the rest of us are like, the emperor has no clothes. And that is brewing and fomenting discontent that I think we're going to see continue into 2025. And then brouhaha is going to be a big rumble in 2026 when we see all the planets just kind of going for broke as Saturn gets ready to move into Aries, as Neptune really is there solid. And so it's going to be pretty contentious moving into 2026. So the comparison with Kent State, I'm not sure that there really is one at the moment, but I am concerned about student protests and about violent reprisals from authorities. And I think May 18th of 2024, we could see a violent act at a commencement. I know some people are mentioning Biden's commencement address. I'm not thinking it might not happen there. It might happen somewhere else. So it just depends. It's not always obvious. It's not always what we think it's going to be. It's hard to know those things. Even if somebody who does predictions, I can just tell you there's going to be a historic event on May 18th of 2024, because Mars will be conjunct the node of the moon in Aries. And that's going to be a little wild. So that's what I've got to say about the Columbia protests, and just bringing it back to that. I just found it very fascinating that in April of 1968, in fact, to the date, April of 1968, April 23rd, 1968, and April 23rd of 2024, you had student protests. It's very interesting to see what the mainstream media is saying about these things versus what is happening on the ground. A lot of people are saying this is why they want to ban TikTok, and potentially so. Again, until we have evidence, I'm not going to add conjecture to the mix. That's not how I operate. We could use deductive reasoning and go, well, that could be a logical conclusion. But again, until we have leaked information, which I very much think will be coming out this summer. And I think that will spur on protests. And I think things get more contentious as we move into the fall, with October of 2024 being exceptionally volatile as we move towards Halloween. And if you've had a reading with me anytime in the last 6 months, I've been, you know, basically saying, hey, be really careful the week of Halloween. You know, I don't like scaring people, but I think everybody needs to be very aware. It will be a very volatile week, the end of October 2024. Kind of like a pinnacle, like the pot boiling over. Whereas we're getting the setup in May of this year, especially May 18th should be a day to remember. It could happen the day before or the day after, but that time range. Moving into June, which is extremely contentious, very volatile, and then into July, and there will be a spilling over, like the pot boils over, but then gets contained in July, and then more pressure builds. Almost think of like lava in a volcano, and we might see some of that. That happens into July. And that's why Matilda and I are doing our event on May 3rd and May 5th. They're not separate events. That we're just trying to make ourselves available to all the different time zones because we both have global audiences. And again, if you're a patron at the $15 level and above, you get the 50% off discount for the event if you're one of Matilda or my patrons. And so those are all linked up in our Patreons. I'll make sure the link to Patreon for both of us is in the show notes here. But anyway, so that's what I have to say about that. I may talk again, like I said, I may talk more about the Kent State parallels later in the year, because I think it's really going to be more like 2025 that we see some of that action as we look at Neptune getting ready to change signs. We could see echoes of it with Jupiter. I'm not convinced. But I don't think it's going to be... I think the end of May is wild. I do. I think it's going to be a little bit wild as we move through May, through June, and into July. July will be very contentious. If you're a patron, you get my 2024 year ahead 2-hour seminar for free. You get it in the Patreon shop, and I'll put that link up in the show notes as well. All right, on to the next segment. Let's do some astrology Q&A. These are supplied by patrons. Let's see. Zach asks, I may be incorrect, but in the past, you have mentioned that practicing astrology was illegal in Bahrain when you lived there previously. Is that still the case? I'm curious as to how you're navigating that on your current trip, if that is the reality. Feel free to disregard if I'm incorrect in your thinking. You're not incorrect, Zach. It was not legal when I learned here. And I kind of had to buzz through a firewall to find what I was looking for. That sounds really techie and really genius level, but it wasn't. Back then, firewalls weren't very hard to get around. You just asked better questions on a search engine. In fact, remember, the quality of the question determines the quality of the answer. And so I just got really good at asking good questions, and it led me down my rabbit holes. It is no longer the case. There's actually astrologers here. So it's kind of exciting. So I haven't had to be careful about it at all. That was one of my concerns. And I actually had to do a lot of research to make sure it was okay. So thank you for asking, Zach. It was one of my concerns as well. So alrighty. By the way, I could use more questions. We're starting to get low on these. Sometimes I do patron-only Q&A in the Patreon, and you can find those as a patron linked up under Patreon Q&A. Somebody's asking, Carrie is asking, if transits or placements of a family are contradicting one another, whose energies take precedence? For example, in a reading, you told me that Jupiter in my fourth house enabled my family to stay in our home when my dad lost his job when I was little. What if my siblings or parents had placements elsewhere that would have encouraged something different happening? That's interesting. It's really not like a fight club. Your Jupiter in the fourth the Jupiter transiting the fourth met your family had it's reflecting in the fourth house, the luck of your family now and being able to stay in the home, which would have been very important to you as a child. But let's say you had a sibling who had Saturn going through there, and they may have felt, the loss of the job harder in a different way, and maybe felt like it wasn't a good experience staying in the home. Because you have to remember, your chart shows your perceptions, but your Jupiter transiting your fourth house showed your family being able to stay in the, it reflected your family, not just you personally, if that makes sense. So I hope that makes sense. But everybody in your family would have had different perceptions around the event. So, you know, just like you can have, as a parent, you can raise, you know, multiple children, and each child has a different experience of you. So there's that. So that's a great question. More of that, please. More questions like that. Those are very helpful. Liz. Hi, Liz is asking, you've talked a bit about the history of Arabic and Muslim astrology in the past. Which books and philosophers do you recommend we check out to learn more, both historically and presently? Where's my book? My brain is going blank. Hang on. So some good books, if you like academic research. So these are a little more academic. So Al Biruni is a historical figure you can look up. I've talked a lot about him because he was an important figure both astronomically and astrologically because of him calculating the math like to a 0.02% accuracy level to what NASA can do with their supercomputers. So that was really cool. Dr. Brian Dykes, I believe, is his name. Let me look him up. I could be wrong. And so we're going to look up this guy's name. He's been doing a lot of translations. There's Al-Kindi's 40 Pages. I think it's Dr. Brian Dykes. Hang on. I could be wrong. Let me see. Astrology. Let's see if I got it right or wrong. Benjamin Dykes. There we go. He's got a PhD. He is a traditional astrologer and translator who earned his PhD in philosophy. He's got a bunch of books. He's got a bunch of books that are really illustrative of the Arabic contribution. I think it's really fascinating. Been enjoying his work. So I've been really enjoying that. We don't do the same kind of astrology necessarily, but I've really been enjoying his work on the Arabic contribution. I think a lot of people misspeak about it when they talk about, well, the Arabs stole it from the Hellenists. Well, no more than the Hellenists stole it from Sumeria. Okay, it's not about stealing. We grab knowledge and we expand on it and bring things forward. And in the 10th and 11th century, mathematics expanded beyond where it had ever been. And it happened to be in the Islamic Empire that was happening. And just because of Islamophobia throughout the West, we've seen the Arabic contribution diminished. It's very sad to me, instead of honoring it and being like, well, they stole it. Not really. They expanded on it. And they gave credit. They gave credit that they studied Ptolemy and all the other Hellenist astrology. They gave credit to what they were expanding on, because that's what you do with a field of study. You say, hey, here are the shoulders upon which I stand. So that was a great question, but yeah, I'll try to remember to talk about some of the books I'm reading on it. I haven't had a chance to read a lot on this trip, but I did get the books, and that's exciting. There's a history of astrology book too that I need to get out there if you're interested. Christy asks, would I please explain what is meant when I say progressed chart? Yeah, Christy, that's a great question. So a progressed chart is another chart, and I'm talking about secondary progressions. So your natal chart never changes. But using an old calculation where we say the sun moves a year for a day, okay? So if you're 50, you count 50 days forward from your birthday, and you look at that as if it was your birth date, and it sets a chart and it shows your maturity. Now, I don't think people really need to look into their progress charts too much when they're younger, because it's showing the maturity and you're still skill building, gaining perspective, etc. But around the time of the Uranus opposition is when that progress chart, if you've done the work, really starts taking precedence. It doesn't ever get rid of your natal chart. It never bumps it out of the way. It's not competing, but it kind of shows in your daily life where you've come with maturity and how things have changed for you. And transits can be a little more explained there in a more visceral way. Kind of like when you do a natal reading with an astrologer and you're over 40, a lot of times what the astrologer would describe is you as a younger person. And then the way I've trained my astrologers to read for their clients is explaining, hey, this might sound more familiar from when you were younger, and now you might express it in these ways, kind of showing the higher octave of the energy. And in my readings as a consultant, I'll actually pull a progress chart and say, let's take a look at your progressions with the transits. And I tend to only do that for people over the age of 45, just because it's not even about how hard you've done the work. It literally is about, you know, age, physical age, you know, because those transits matter. And I know everybody wants to be an early achiever, but there's just life stages, okay? And that's what I've found. Now, we can see things, just to muddy the waters, we can see things where, like, maybe you were really shy from 0 to 3 years old, and then you one day woke up and decided to dance in the living room in front of your whole family. That might be the sun progressing. So, which is, you know, it could be progress from like Cancer to Leo, or, you know, say Taurus to Gemini or whatever, as a little one. And you might have these things where you can see subtle changes to yourself, or where you went from, you know, things happen. We can see that in anybody's progressions, but where the progress chart really is hitting hard and heavy, where we can look at transits and they're very applicable, is after the Uranus opposition in your early to mid 40s. So there's that. And that's just my experience. I think other people could look at it differently, and that's fine. But this is what I've found to be most accurate. So, and it's my podcast, so I'm going to talk about what I do. How's that? And honestly, I'll tell you why I figured that out. In my late 40s, I think it was like 47, I was noticing that my own predictive process was not hitting the mark. I was like having difficulties. I was having difficulties timing things for myself. And I thought, did I lose my mojo? Did I lose my mojo? Why am I off by weeks or days? And what? Oh no. I just knocked everything over. Hang on. We're going to edit this part out. Did I get it? Okay. So I noticed my own predictions were off, completely off. And for me, I was like, dang, did I lose my mojo? And I just got a woolly hair and looked at my progress chart, and I was like, oh, okay. And I had done a lot of work. I had done a lot of healing work. I'd made a lot of progress in life, and voila, those things, you know, it was showing up because the progress chart was really showing. Now I still look at my natal chart, and then I look at my progress chart, and I kind of compare the two. If you're doing your own astrology and you're not professionally trained and you don't have professional experience, you can get kind of lost in the weeds with this. And that's why I suggest getting some training, having a mentor, because astrology is not a self-study course. It's just not. Having a mentor, having a teacher is really important. And you can go to lots of different kinds of workshops. That's why I do the beginning workshops, you know, to get you on the right foot so you can tell what's good information and what may not be the best information. And then you can make decisions that you can trust. Okay. So that was a great question, Christy. You asked so many good questions. I love that. Okay. Let's do another one. Lisa Z. Can you tell us more about how silver is the preferred metal jewelry for a Cancer, fellow Cancerian myself, and I never knew that. It's Cancer. The moon rules silver, and Cancer is ruled by the moon, and Leo rules gold, right? Or the sun rules gold, and Leo is ruled by the sun, so gold for Leo, silver for Cancer. I mean, you might be a Cancer who prefers gold, and there might be other stuff going on. It just happens that the moon rules silver, and there we go. Let me look up something for that as I answer this question. Let's see. Let me see. Moon rules. But yeah, one of my favorite books to suggest to people is the Rulership book by Rex E. Bills. And that's R-E-X, middle initial E, Bills, B-I-L-L-S. And anyway, this has all the different things that astrologers have determined to be what's the common rulerships of many things. It's not everything in the world, but think of like how cool a thesaurus is or a concordance is, and that's kind of what the rulership book is, and it's very cool. So let's see. So the moon rules silver. And any sign can rule it. And this is like kind of more taken from the Vedic, but Taurus, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces are considered, you know, luckier wearing silver. And silver is also a very protective metal. So that is part of it. So, but yeah. So just knowing that can help. Vedic has different rulerships over gold and iron. But I think iron is ruled by Saturn in both cases. But yeah, you can look that up in the rulership book. I always tell people that's the one book you'll keep copies of as you go through your astrological studies. I've had 3 copies in 3 decades, and it's the favorite. Let's see. Andy, can you talk a little bit about the Lot of Fortune? Yeah. So the Lot of Fortune can also be called the Part of Fortune or Pars Fortunae. And it is a calculation point, and it is calculated the opposite of the part of spirit. Now you can look up articles on astro.com. You can search, you know, articles, Part of Fortune, and learn a little bit about that. There are many lots or parts, and the Arabic parts or lots are calculation points. And you use different, like ascendant plus moon minus the sun, you know, or the ascendant plus sun minus the moon, you know, for day or night formulas, things like that. That's why you want to know your degrees, right? Because you're doing the math on that. Or you can have it calculated, okay? It can be in your chart software calculations. The Lot of Fortune in a chart just shows it shows a couple of things. It shows where you can be most fortunate, like just where you're just going to vibe better. You know, so for me, my Lot of Fortune is in Aquarius in the third house. So communicating astrology is something that brings me good fortune. When a planet transits that could be a luminary or a planet transiting that can give you an increase, but it's only by conjunction. Okay. And we use a 2-degree orb. So And it also can show, and that's in that article on astro.com. Robert Hand wrote it. So look up the Robert Hand article on the lot of fortune or part of fortune. He'll give you kind of a little history rundown and a nice description. But you can see, if you look at like what is the rulership of that, then you can see how a person might succeed at things, you know, where things will be a little easier for them. So it's very fascinating. Lots are very fascinating. I don't overemphasize them in a chart. I do find them just kind of like a feature of interest, but they are very fascinating. And Robert Zoller's work on them, if you want to read some academic work, Robert Zoller on the Arabic parts is very good. So that is useful. It's not beginning level astrology though, guys. And I'm not gatekeeping. I'm just going to say, if you don't have the basics down, none of what these guys write is going to, you're just going to open the book and your brain's going to hurt. So, and I know because I've been there, my brain hurt. So, you know, you want to go slow and steady and build your skills. All right. I'm going to do one last question. Oh, yeah. Savi asks, can your birth chart help you better understand your sleep? Yes. Not only can your birth chart help you better understand your sleep, whether you're going to be more of a night owl or a morning person, or if you need a lot of sleep or less sleep, you can see it by transit. And some of the transits that I will tell you, I know I'm not going to get a whole lot of sleep, is when the moon is activating on my Mercury or Uranus. If there's a Uranus transit to my Mercury or Mercury is transiting my Uranus, there is no way in hell I'm getting an adequate night's sleep, and I just better be ready for just a busy brain. And so when I know those are coming, because it's based off my life experience. So when I know that's coming, you know, every year, you know, the sun and Mercury are going to pass over my Jupiter Uranus conjunction, and I'm just going to be wired. I try to drink less coffee that day. I also will just be like, okay, well, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to lay down and I'm just going to let my body rest, even if I physically can't sleep. And I'm going to let myself just let my mind kind of do its thing. It's never a worry thing for me anymore. It was when I was younger, and it might trigger off my, back in the day, it would trigger off my anxiety or any issues I had. So I learned to watch for those transits, because I'd be like, oh man, is that coming? And so I learned how to manage the energy. So that's something I talk about in readings with people. So if I see something up like that, I'll talk about you being like, your nervous system might be more activated. You might be having trouble sleeping, and we'll talk about ways you can work with that energy so it's not as disruptive for you. These were all really good questions. Patrons, you can keep asking me questions in the Googly sheet. I think I might post that in our chat more often so you can find it easier, because, you know, I make tons of posts and they get buried and you know how that goes. So that's, which isn't super fun for you. So I'm trying to make it easier to find stuff, more organized to find stuff. I don't know. Maybe I should make like a resources category, something like that. And then in all of my available time, go in and organize, right? So, I don't know. That's up on deck. Much love. We're going to end the episode here. I want you guys to just take it easy. Do what you need to do to get through your day. Take time out for yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with other people. And just know that things are going to be a little wild and woolly. And I look forward to talking to you next week.